Blog Talk Radio.
What up, what up, what up? It's Pete Richardson, the owner of Soul Creative, saving athletes respectfully on the Pete Richardson Morning Show. Right now, I got a tribute to Mr. Stuart Scott, such a great icon, such a very beneficial person to our community. Excuse me. Right after this segment, we're going to get straight into the show. Here we go.
What does it look like? How does it sound? What does it say?
Call Canerkle Butter, because he is on a roll.
At a time when a lot of what we saw, what we heard, and what we watched on ESPN was the same, he wasn't.
Looking like two here?
Oh,
not quite. Off the wall. It's a double for Cal. His mom thought it was a homer.
More than being in the right place at the right time, he was a new voice for a new time.
And yo, let me tell you, his wasn't the only one tonight. SportsCenter starts time right about now.
And as soon as we heard it, the rules, the boundaries, the industry changed, and we knew it.
Booyah. That's it. In a word, that's what he brought to SportsCenter. He brought his own attitude and energy and lexicon.
Third inning, Derek Jeter in first. Booyah! Alex Rodriguez, second homer in two nights.
And he owned that distinctive style of doing the show the way he wanted to do it.
He didn't push the envelope. I mean, he bulldozed the envelope. And the fact that he was willing to try something new. You know, he had white guys in their 30s all with catchphrases. Stewart certainly wasn't that.
You know, this kid is as cool as the other side of the pillow. Three-run shot to left.
When he started at ESPN, I was still in college, and he was the guy that I stayed up to watch appointment television because of Stewart Scott.
Watching him as a black man, hearing things that I talk about with my other friends who are black, who my white friends might not know, and feeling like, okay, I'm part of the conversation now, whereas before I wasn't, and that was really cool.
Stewart Scott grew up in North Carolina and graduated from Chapel Hill, a proud Tar Heel with a deep determination. He began his career in television working for local stations in the South.
All of the movie reviews are good, and practically every newspaper and magazine article, and there are a lot of them, mention the city of Durham. It's a Hollywood formula that's bound to spell success for the entire Bulls organization.
He arrived in Bristol in 1993 for the launch of ESPN2.
He was like a ball of fire walking in the door. I'd never met anybody like Stewart Scott.
If you're Warren Moon, what are you doing at this hour? Watching Sports Night? We know, but maybe you should be packing your bags and calling real estate agents in Minnesota.
I think it was pretty obvious, you know, after doing Sports Night that this guy was going to be a big player here, that he came at it from a different angle. We certainly needed some more diversity on the air, and he certainly brought that in many ways.
Who's got the best left hook? Ooh, right cross in sports.
From the start, some embraced Stewart's style, and some didn't.
Stewart was very clear about who he wanted to be on TV, and it wasn't always the easiest path. And there was initially resistance here, but he had a very strong conviction about who he wanted to be on TV, the audience that he wanted to represent, and the voice that he was going to have.
Cynthia Cooper invited Pookie and Ray Ray and them over, put on some old Earth, Wind & Fire and an 8-track at a block party. Coop, you go, girl. Coop.
When we started doing Sports Centers together in 96, just hearing from a lot of people that his style was grating on them. And I know Stewart heard that, but he didn't care. I mean, not one time did he think for a single second that he should be anything but himself and true to himself, to who he is.
Top five. Booyah! Royce Clayton takes Juan Guzman out. Royce, slow your roll, kid. It's only his fifth homer of the year, but he rushed it and crushed it 423 feet.
I mean, we really accept, you know, this guy with the booyahs and this and the flair on SportsCenter, this pristine journalism show. And obviously the answer is, of course, we would. And his presence
catapulted that show himself and ESPN to another stratosphere, really, with sports fans.
Big 7'1", 330-pound brother who strides up court like this after bringing down the house.
From his language to his look, his personality to his passion, Stewart connected with the audience and broadened it at the same time. He quickly became a fixture on SportsCenter, while reaching beyond it, creating his own place in pop culture.
Hey, welcome to SportsCenter. I'm Stewart Scott, and alongside me is newcomer to the program, Chet Harper.
Hey, how you doing, Stewart?
All right. Hey, Chet's more excited than Dennis Rodman at a Clinique sale. Booyah! Got your partner.
I think there was a segment of the audience that was kind of unique to him. It really hadn't been represented on TV. We hadn't really seen something like that. And he nailed it. And when you were with him out of the studio and you got to see the reaction, then you really understood how much it meant to people.
Owens was fine one day.
Stewart's role at the network expanded over the years. While maintaining his presence at SportsCenter, he served as a host for more programs, including Monday Night Countdown and events like the NBA Finals. He sat down with two presidents, Barack Obama and Bill Clinton, and conducted one-on-one interviews with some of the biggest names in sports, including Tiger Woods and Michael Jordan.
Last time we saw you on the court, 98, boom, the shot.
It's been that long, huh?
Once and for all, did you push off of Ryan?
What'd they call? Okay, whatever they call, I did.
Three men, three baseball players, three friends.
Stewart's path through work and life changed in November 2007. While covering a Monday night game between the Steelers and Dolphins, he was forced to have an emergency appendectomy, and doctors discovered a tumor. He underwent two surgeries and months of chemotherapy, and believed he beat it. 4 years later, in 2011, the cancer returned. Stewart faced it again. And again it returned in January 2013. With each recurrence seemingly worse than the last, Stewart continued to fight.
One of the things he said during his illness is he doesn't know what stage he's at. 1, 2, 3, 4. He doesn't want to know. He wants to live his life like anybody else. He wants to experience the joys, the ups, the downs, and so forth. He was determined, I think, not to let his illness define him.
In the midst of continued chemotherapy treatments and medication regimens, Stewart took to the gym to treat his body and his spirit through mixed martial arts and cross-training workouts. It was physical as well as symbolic, his way of continuing the battle. Through it all, he kept to working. Exhausted, but unyielding.
You have to actually try and be that bad. That's horrid. Again, though, not as bad as Carl Lewis. At least Finney can sing. Finney's a rap mogul. Finney can rap. Carl Lewis threw that thing down,
there's
and he
street
butchered.
Cred now after that.
Is that street cred or not? Well, you know, the brothers ain't playing baseball in the street, so he still got street cred. He just ain't got no baseball cred.
You'd see him in commercials, and I'd look over, and he'd be doing one of these. He's almost trying to catch a 30-second nap, and, you know, just killed me to see him like that, because that wasn't the Stewart Scott that I know, that I worked with so many years. And yet, when the red light came on, when he was on camera, the audience at home, I don't think, could tell what Stewart was dealing with.
Home for Stewart held the greatest and most important purpose in his life and his fight. Being a father to his two lovely daughters, Taylor and Sydney.
Your dad loves you to death. All he could do is spend all his time bragging about you and how wonderful you are. And since I've got two daughters, I know how he feels.
Coming.
I wish you guys all the best.
Coming to see you real soon. Love you guys.
He would always talk about him because there is heart, so much pride. The love is beyond any parent would understand it, but his was just so profound and so evident, and so he was so willing to share it in ways that it might be embarrassing to his daughters, you know, but he didn't give them, you know? Sydney and Taylor He was going to be proud of them. He was going to talk about them, and he did. And it breaks my freaking heart in half, man.
Those girls are the reason why he fought as long as he did. They are the reason why he lived his life before he got sick, and definitely after he got sick.
Instead of sending you home tomorrow, I get to go home with you tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Yay, Spurs.
On July 16, 2014, after 21 years on the air, Stewart was in a different role, not anchor, but inspiration.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is my profound honor to present the 2014 Jimmy V. Perseverance Award to Stewart Scott.
What few knew was that he'd been in the hospital for days just the week before, undergoing multiple surgeries. Determined to make the trip to Los Angeles for that night and that moment.
I knew that the week plus leading up to that night of the SCs that he was in bad shape. And they weren't sure if he was going to be able to make the trip, have the strength to make the trip. I was scared. I was scared watching him walk up the steps because he was so thin. He didn't look like Stu anymore. But then I reminded myself, hello, who are you talking about here? This is Stuart. And he's not going to let this moment get away.
The speech was a signature. Raw and honest, powerful and indelible.
When you die, that does not mean that you lose cancer. You beat cancer by how you live, why you live, and in the manner in which you live. Ever give up because I can't leave my daughters. My littlest angel is here. My 14-year-old. City, come up here and give Dad a hug because I need one.
I want to say thank you, ESPN. Thank you, ESPYs.
Thank all of you. Have a great rest of your night and have a great rest of your life.
He owned every sportscast, every sports center show, every Monday Night Football show we did. He owned it. It was Stewart. It was perfect.
There are many ways we leave our imprint on those around us, and if we're fortunate, our mark upon the world, with a touch and a reach, a sound and a voice.
Swoops with the steel. Swoops, there it is, on a ballot where the party at. Whoops, there it is.
Stewart Scott's voice remains in more than a word or a phrase. It's a truth and a spirit. It's the sound of change, and it will echo for a long time to come.
Ken Griffey Jr., waiting.
Booyah!
It's hard to remember how revolutionary it was when Stewart brought a little of that hip-hop attitude and style and flair to SportsCenter. And it seems like nothing controversial now to say booyah or as cool as the other side of the villa. But at the time, it was a little attitude that SportsCenter hadn't really felt before. So he brought that, and it changed everything.
I don't think enough people appreciate what Stewart did when he did it. And I don't know if it's going to be one of those that will understand the impact of his style. Maybe 5, 10 years down the road, when you have kids who have watched, who want to get in this business and want to emulate him. He took a lot of chances, but he never wavered. So he was so committed to that style, that personality, that demeanor. He wanted to have an impact on the business, and he did.
Yes, he had an impact on our business, but more importantly, my dear friend had an undeniable impact on those facing cancer, including myself. Thank you, Stu, for your bravery and stellar example. Thank you for being you, as cool as the other side of the pillow.
as cool as the other side of the pillow. How's everybody out there doing? This is P. Richardson, the owner and sole creator of Saving Athletes Respectfully. I'm coming to you live on the Blog Talk Radio on the Pete Richardson Morning Show. And what you guys just heard right there was a contribute to Mr. Stuart Scott. That guy is such a great inspiration. Came down with cancer in 2007. Got it treated, got rid of it. Came down with cancer again in 2011. Treated it, beat it. And then, as we all know, it came back here in late 2014. And not such an outcome that you really want to have whenever you think of a relative or loved one, but you never know. Whenever your life is going to be taken away from you. So, just so you guys know, I'm actually coming to you live out of University Medical Center myself. My fiance and I were actually involved in the grease fire, to which I did not know. All you had to do was throw some flour or throw like a big old top or something on the grease fire. But I actually just picked it up with my hand and dropped it, and it got all on her, on me. And now today's our last day in the hospital, so I can say God is good. She gets to go home right after we get through being live on the air on Blog Talk Radio on the P. Richardson Morning Show. So, with that being said, no matter what you do, no matter what you've been through or what you've done, life is about making your dreams come true. When adversity hits, you know, either it's going to squeeze a little dog out of you or it's going to squeeze a man out of you. So, and which brings me to my special guest that I'm having on my show. Man, this guy's name is Coach Demetric Warren, straight up out of Mississippi. This dude is on Team Jesus. So, for all you believers out there, keep believing in God. No matter what you do, stay positive and keep your faith, because just like adversity can cause you to break records or can cause you to break. So with that being said, also this dude is, I'm also bringing, he's going to have his own show on the Saving Athletes Respectfully on SOAR. He's going to be talking about recruiting and everything. So I'm really excited for the doors that God has opened for me in 2015. And all it takes is for you to stay consistent, stay persistent, and just ask. And just ask. Don't be scared. Fear kills more dreams than anything else. So when in doubt, just ask for a shout. So, Mr. Warren just called in. How's it going, Mr. Warren? You doing okay?
I'm blessed, brother. How you doing?
I'm blessed as well. I know you're a busy man. We got just about 15 minutes for you to display your message. So I'll briefly introduce you. So I'm going to go ahead and let you introduce yourself, Mr. Warren.
Yes, again, my name is Demetri Warren. I'm the co-founder and director of scouting of VarsityPreps.com. I do a lot dealing with high school football recruiting throughout the country, from California down to the tip of Florida. Just do quite a bit with recruiting. I coach high school football. I work at a high school, so I'm very involved with kids and just love the game of football. So any opportunity I have a platform to help kids out and help parents out towards recruiting and understanding that process, and I'm really blessed to be a part of any platform that gives me the opportunity to do that. And so I was excited about the opportunity to come on today, and also about the opportunity to hosting my own radio show, and the radio show on the SOAR Network. That would be awesome, you know. And we'll deal with a lot of different topics for us. Recruiting and bringing parents on to discuss the recruiting process and coaches on and everything that deals with recruiting to try to help better a kid's experience with recruiting, parents' experience with recruiting, and also shed light with coaches on how the day-by-day aspects of big-time college football goes, you know, because a lot of people just don't understand. So, again, I'm very excited about this opportunity. It's been a blessing.
Oh, man, I like that right there. It's been a blessing, just like Mr. Warren said, anytime we get the platform to help kids. Because and I really believe when everything is genuine, when everything is authentic, people can hear it. But not only can they hear it, but they also feel it. But, Mr. Warren, that's going to get the audience some background. What gave you that passion to
to love football? Was football was something that you just played as a young adolescent and just progressed into middle school, into high school? But how did you end up developing that love for the game and then ultimately trying to give back to the game?
Well, in actuality, I didn't grow up liking football. I grew up a baseball fanatic. I was a baseball fanatic growing up. I played Little League baseball, made it to state championships in baseball. And, I was all things baseball. I was a nerd when it come to baseball. I could tell you all the old-time players. I memorized all the stats. I knew everything when it came to baseball until 1994 happened. And Major League Baseball went on a strike.
And, I remember
heart,
that.
It ripped my heart completely out. I mean, I had to be the saddest kid in America when Major League Baseball went on a strike in 1994. And then my attention just turned to football, I played high school football, pretty good in high school football, but I didn't have the size to go play college ball. And so I started coaching high school football while I was in college, and I started coaching at an early age. I was a defensive coordinator while I was still in college at a high school, 3A high school, where I currently still work at to this day. So I've been around football a lot. I've had my ups and downs. I've had, good experiences and bad experiences, but where I am today is a product of those experiences. And the bad experiences I've had have shaped and transformed who I am more than the good experiences have. So, when it comes to recruiting, I have not been doing recruiting as long as some people think, or some people think, hey, he's been dealing with recruiting for about 10, 15 years. No, I haven't. I've been actually dealing with recruiting for like two and a half years. I just catch on quick in anything that I do. I immerse myself in it to make sure what I'm saying and how I'm doing this correct. Because when you present information to people, you need to know what you're talking about. It needs to be accurate if people are going to rely on your information and advice. So, I work hard at what I do, and I try to be the best. Anything I do, I try to be the best at it. So that's just a little background. I'm not that interesting of a person to go on and on. That's just a little background of, how I've gotten to this point.
Oh, that's a good deal right there. Just like he said, he had love for the game of baseball until that lockout. Man, I actually remember that lockout. It takes me back to, I want to say, I was probably just in third grade whenever that happened. And I remember because the tragic death of Stuart Scott, he just passed. And during that time, I remember like all of that because I was a big Atlanta Braves fan. Fred McGriff, Chipper Jones, like a lot of baseball was my first love as well. Yeah. So we got something in common right there. My mom put me in baseball so I wouldn't be out running the streets like some of the knuckleheads who's right now is either dead or in jail. So thank you very much, Mama. I love you. I remember those days because baseball used to get me through that day. So whenever that lockout happened, man, everything happens for a reason. It basically was a blessing in disguise. But I surely hope baseball can get back to what it used to be. Back in the day, that's America's America's favorite sport. And to go along with that, the Dallas Cowboys are America's team. So hopefully, the Dallas Cowboys can continue to get these W's and eventually win a Super Bowl.
I have to disagree with you on that because I hope the Dallas Cowboys' last game is Sunday. I'm not a Dallas Cowboys fan at all. I know you Texans love Dallas, but, man, I was hoping Detroit whip them Sunday. But, hey, nevertheless, I think their last game played this year going to be in Lambeau Field, and that's what I'm hoping for.
You know that last game gonna be at Lambeau Field. Well, oh man, I know some of my colleagues will be mad at me because I would say if Brett Favre was still the quarterback for the Packers now, I would say the Dallas got a little bit better chance of winning. But Aaron Rodgers, man, if it's Brett Favre fans, don't hate me for this, but Aaron Rodgers,
I think he's the best quarterback, and
I honestly believe that too. You know, the Cowboys fans won't really like that because, you know, everybody is all on Tony Romo and Tony Romo this. And just a few years ago, everybody was so anti-Tony Romo. But now Tony Romo is led the Cowboys to the season, which brings me to this adversity. Adversity, adversity. You got to realize the adversity what Tony Romo has overcome, you know, and continuing this team on to the playoffs because he had a back injury before season, had a back injury during the season, and now he's in the postseason and going on week two of the playoffs. So which I feel like that is pretty cool. So Mr. Warren, it brings me to this. Okay, we're going into the spring semester of school. Whoa. Mm-hmm. So. What some advice would you give a young teenager who's looking to get recruited to that's in his senior year, looking to get recruited to play collegiate football next year?
Well, just work and train. I think that's the part that a lot of kids miss is the training part. Kids' body types and they have to change from year to year. If I look at a game film on a kid from his junior year, and I look for my senior year, I need to see a difference. And sometimes that doesn't happen, and that's disappointing. So there has to be a difference in your body type. It has to be a difference in your level of aggression and intensity. You have to continuously get better. No college coach don't want a kid who's not getting better. And sadly, a lot of kids who are rated high, like four-star, five-star kids, they get those high ratings coming out of their junior year. And they don't get better their senior year. And when they don't get better their senior year, that kid has a high bust factor when they're going into college. So they're just not getting better. They're not getting better at all. So any kid who wants to be recruited, you got to work and train. The recruiting will take care of itself. If you're a good player, you'll be found. Huddle and Exos and all these other video companies that deal with highlight films and all that other stuff, you'll get found. You have a lot of kids who want to be on social media 24/7 promoting themselves, but while they're on social media promoting themselves, another kid who's in the gym, who's actually working, who's actually getting better, who's outside training, that kid is the one who's going to wind up getting a scholarship that the kid who's on social media trying to promote himself get, because one is working and one is not. One is, you know, self-promoting and the other one is actually working. So you just tell them, I just tell them this work. Number two, get ready for the spring evaluation period that's coming up when college coaches can come out and see them. I think it starts like the last week in April to the last week in May. They'll be by schools watching spring practice. So get ready for that and then go to camp. Go to camp this summer. If you want an offer from Florida State, go to Florida State camp. If you want an offer from Texas Tech or Oklahoma or Kansas or anywhere, go to the camp. You know, go to their camp. And show the coaches what you got. A lot of kids want to sit on the couch and they don't want to go to camps. Hey, go to the camp and go compete. It's two reasons why you go to camps. You go compete and you go to show the coaches in person what you can do. Also to give you an opportunity, to give coaches an opportunity to be around the kid, talk to the kid, to gauge the kid. So all that stuff is in every July. And it's one of the most amazing things you can see for as a camp because it'd be 600, 700, 800 kids there, and it's as organized as anything you want to see. And so it gives kids a chance to come in and just compete. Every kid ain't going to get a scholarship from Alabama, but the experience that they get while they're there and while they compete and how structured it is, it's amazing. And I'm not trying to build up Alabama's camp, any camp. Go to them, work out. And so you can, get a chance to be seen by coaches. So, that's the advice I would give any kid right now going to the spring semester for us, getting recruited, because it's going to heat up pretty heavy once. After signing day hit, that 2016 class is now the next class up. And then the 2017 will get more of a look. So it's going to be absolutely important that those kids get better, speed increase. Body type increase, Everything needs to increase, and the only way you're going to do that is by working.
Oh, man, did you guys hear that right there? Did you guys hear that? For you guys that's out there listening to that show, not everybody can get that advice. Not everybody is that well-educated whenever it comes to getting recruited. Most education level comes whenever kids that play football. It's usually coming from your uncle. It's usually coming from somebody who said who. It's usually coming from somebody who was like, well, my coach was hiding my letters. Or some kind of excuse. You know, it's always an excuse for somebody not to make it. Especially when you're coming from a small town. So what Mr. Warren was saying there, there needs to be a difference between your junior year highlight tape and also your senior year. And right now, in the spring, you got to work. Yes, you got to self-promote yourself. But how you self-promote yourself is under them lights. That's whenever it's time to perform. And he also said, and also how you show yourself is whenever you go to them camps. So, and also whenever you start going to them camps, then that's when you're able to put yourself on a platform to display your talent so that coach can actually see you face to face. So, and just like he said, you know, like people need to get up off of Twitter and Facebook. And yes, you do need to self-promote, but you need to spend the most of your time and that running them bleachers, spending that time running them gassers, spending that time in that weight room, spending that time eating right, spending that time getting your grades right. Because you can have all the talent in the world, but if you ain't got the grades to go, then I'm sorry, baby, you can't go. But I will tell you this, study that ACT, study that SAT. A lot of people don't know that I scored a 15 on my ACT, and the people before me who thought they was more talented than me said, no, you got to get a 17 and 18 in order to go D1. But I'm going to tell you this, sadly to say, I guess them schools didn't really want that athlete because I scored a 15, but they made it to where if I was scoring a 3.97 GPA, then I could still get my scholarship. So if they want you, they're going to get you. So if they want you, they're going to get you. They're going to find you. Either way it goes, either that's through your principal, through your coach, through somebody in your family. If there's a will, there's a way. Well, all right, Mr. Warren, it's really been my pleasure. I'm not going to take up any more of your time, but yes, I look forward to hearing from you next Monday. And you guys got to excuse my son right there. We're in the University Medical Center. We're about to go home from the hospital. Well, Mr. Warren, it's been my pleasure. I'll talk to you again on Monday. All right, sir?
Thank you. Be blessed. You and your family, be blessed.
Oh, it's my pleasure. You have a great day.
All right, buddy. Bye-bye.
All right. Demetric Warren, straight up out of Mississippi, right off of Varsity Preps. He's a new addition to Saving Athletes Respect, but he's going to have his own show starting next week, talking about recruiting. So for your parents out there listening, we're going to have a designated time that you can tune in, not only in the morning, but also in the p.m., whenever everybody's getting ready, getting off work, they can kick back and relax your feet. So if you guys got a cousin, if you guys got anything out there, that's looking to get recruited and anything like that, make sure you tune into my show next week. I'll give you the exact time and days and the time to call in, because we got our youth are our future. Our youth are our future. We cannot express that enough. The youth are our future. So we got to help out the youth. We might not change the world. But that doesn't mean we can't spark it in our youth to help somebody else that's younger than us change the world. So with that being said, I got youth minister Mr. Stephen Ivey on the line right here. He's going to bless the show. Mr. Ivey, are you there, my man?
I'm there. How's it going, man?
It's going well. It's going well. It's a little loud over there, my man.
I'm sorry about that. I'm making transition. I'm sorry.
It's all good. That's all good, man. That's what you call life, man. Life is what happens to you whenever you're busy making other plans. But, you know, just like I said, it's all when adversity hits, it can cause a man to break or it can cause a man to break records. I'm going to go ahead and give you the platform so you can go ahead and display your message, my man.
Yes, sir. Well, hey, man, you know, hopefully all of my messages are simple, and I kind of started every time by saying simple. And today is the same thing. And I can't get off of this kick about your mind and your thoughts, how you think. And I believe it's very important for anybody doing anything
how you start and how you finish. Those are is really how you start, what you do in between, and how you finish. Each point has its importance, and being that we're at the top of the year, the first week of the whole year, man, I just want to encourage everybody, man. I want to challenge you on what you're thinking about, taking hold and taking charge of your thoughts, not letting your mind be idle. You know, I tuned in and heard Pete talking about being on Twitter and all of that kind of stuff. Man, social media is great. It's a great avenue, like you said, to expose yourself. It's a great avenue to catch up with old friends, people that I might not have their number. People are able to watch me on Facebook. Family members that I don't get to talk to all the time get to watch me on Facebook, Twitter, and all that. And all of that's great, but sometimes it can be a major distraction to somebody that's living their life on purpose. Hopefully, you're listening to this radio station, tuning in. Hopefully, your goal in life is to live your life not just by happenstance, but live your life on purpose. And if that's the case, you've got to control your thoughts. And so at the beginning of the year, man, I want to challenge you to think about your dreams. Think about your goals. What are the things that you left undone in 2014, 2013, those things that you hadn't finished? Think on those things. See yourself accomplishing your dreams. If it's graduating high school, if it's graduating college, if it's getting your associate's degree, if it's just getting your diploma, if it's getting out your mama's house and getting a job, whatever it is, man, think on those things. See yourself accomplishing your goals, but get your mind right. Don't think about negativity. Don't think about defeat. See yourself as a victor, not a victim. See yourself as an overcomer, as a winner. And I guarantee you that your thoughts will become actions. And if your thoughts are victorious, soon enough your actions will be victorious, because it all starts with a thought.
It all starts with a thought. Y'all heard it from myself, Mr. Youth Minister, and right about Arkansas, Mr. Stephen Ivey. Control your thoughts. You control your thoughts and you control what you do. Just like he said, social media can be a great avenue, because it's like it was a great avenue between me and Mr. Ivey. If it wasn't for Facebook and social media, then I wouldn't have been able to see the tremendous steps that he's taking and taking a leap of faith and doing what he's doing and helping out his community. And also, it takes a little consistency and hard work on my part not to get too overwhelmed and understand real life and, you know, like social life, you know what I mean? So that social media, it could be a blessing or it can be a curse. It's really up to you. Well, all right, Mr. Ivey, it's really been my pleasure. And I look forward to hearing from you tomorrow, my man.
Yes, sir.
All righty. Talk to you.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was Mr. Stephen Ivey, youth minister right up out of Arkansas. And it's been my pleasure. So if you guys heard something today and something just hit home, or you got a cousin or you got a little brother that's 17, 18, about to graduate high school this semester, or somebody that's a junior, contact me. My email is soareveryday@gmail.com, or you can tweet me at soareveryday. Or you feel free to look me up on Facebook. My name is Pete Richardson. Just look me up, contact me, and I can get you in touch with Mr. Warren, and we can go ahead and get if it's your son, your nephew, your niece, whatever it is, and help them soar, because just like I said, our youth are our future. I cannot express that enough. Our youth are our future. And also, if you guys were caught the beginning of the show, I made a contribution to Stuart Scott. I'm also going to do it again tomorrow because I don't think people really realize the impact that Stuart Scott had on our community. If it wasn't for Stuart Scott, if it wasn't for people like Stuart Scott, a lot of people think most African American minorities just want to be rappers, just want to be athletes, but no, Stuart Scott showed us you don't have to be an athlete. You can also be in broadcasting and still be an influential person in your community, still show love conquers all. So that's one thing what Mr. Warren was talking about whenever they had that lockout back in the day for baseball. You know, it's people like Stuart Scott to where you still can see somebody and still relate to them in a way of, man, that guy talks how I talk. So now when I go to school, I can still keep my attitude, still keep my demeanor, don't really feel like a sellout. And still, instead of skipping class, I'm going to class. Instead of selling drugs, I'm moving away from drugs. You know what I mean? So people like Stuart Scott is a very influential person on this community, just like the Barack Obamas, the Jesse Jacksons, and all that in that nature, and just like the person that's managing your neighborhood store right down the street, just like the person that's just managing the restaurant, your favorite restaurant down the street. You don't have to be a millionaire to be successful. You don't have to hit the lotto to be a millionaire. You don't have to have all these followers. You don't have to have all of these quote unquote stigmas to consider yourself successful. If you wake up every day and you enjoy what you do, then you got a smile on your face. You're able to take care of your family and continue to get better that day. Then you are successful. Don't let somebody tell you that you are not successful just because you're not driving this type of car, you're not wearing these Jordans, or you don't have these KDs or whatever it is. Don't let nobody tell you what you can't do. All you got to do is just sit back and say, well, look at you, what you got. Move out my way. Exactly. With that being said, I catch you guys tomorrow on the Saving Athletes Respectfully on the Blog Talk Radio Network on the P. Richardson Morning Show. But you know, I cannot let you go without listening to I Came to Win. Yeah, that's right. That's Nicki Minaj and Rihanna. I see you guys tomorrow. Peace.
I came to win, to fight, to conquer.
Upon me, but when you go hard, your name become yay. Yankee Stadium with Jay and Kanye.